The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And hey, welcome back. Final hour. We are live here, and we will go live to Oxford shortly and check out how the parade is coming along, about to get going. And then following us an hour from now, the celebration with the national champ, Ole Miss Rebels. So Jerome called in a few minutes ago, very upset.
Hey, man, we ain't got to go through all that damn rehearsal. You hear me? I can't even sit back in the chair and relax. You hear? I just let the two, yo, you emphasize twice that I'm asking for money. I'm serious. What do you think I'm playing? Huh? Is there anything wrong with a man reaching for his dreams or something?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but this is a nonprofit. I'm struggling here. This is a show. This is not a for-profit adventure for the callers.
I don't care about it being no show, man. I'm talking through this show. I'm talking to you. You know, hell, you know what I'm talking about. It's like Kirby talking about 1 + 1 is 3.
Okay, okay. Let me ask you this question. What do you think you're worth, Jerome?
Oh, shit, you going to ask me that serious on damn radio, Fireball? You want me to be honest with you? I don't need no attorney or no negotiator. You want me to be honest with you?
Well, I mean, if you want to meet on Fifth Avenue, we can order tea and crumpets and have a more dignified
sweet
conversation.
Tea.
What do you want, Jerome? Sweet. That's a question.
Oh, I don't know, man. I'll take probably about $1,000 a week right now.
$1,000 a week.
$1,000 a week. Yeah.
So you're looking for $50,000 or more to be a caller to the show.
Yeah. I'm worth that. Dude, all this foolishness in our brain to you, what you talking about?
So, Jerome, if we pay you $50,000, what do you think the big guys like Jim from Tuscaloosa will start asking for?
About $75 or $100. He worth it. I told Jim several years ago that he was a damn magnet to this damn show. He was the key. He just blocked me, but I told him.
Okay, well, let me hit a few more. What about I-Man? What do you think he's worth?
I think I, man, he's an Auburn fan. He's a friend. We got a man probably about 35.
$35,000. Okay. Who's the best caller in your opinion?
Outside Jerome from Birmingham.
Outside of Jerome from Birmingham.
Oh, let me see, man. I like Jim when he with that damn foolishness. I like Liz. I like all of them. I'm open-minded to everybody, man.
Okay.
So you with the damn foolishness. You hear me? Now, you just imagine waking up damn one day and hollering, welcome to the damn five, but I'm sure you look down at the damn car, you don't have a damn call. Huh? Nobody want to hear no damn Nick from damn Georgia, a damn Darryl Klain man from Georgia. We don't want to hear all them damn clowns. Hear me? And I really don't give a damn what you think. I'm just telling you. Hear me?
Well, we care greatly what our...
How much you care?
Well, see, Jerome, you have to remember something about this show. I am an employee. I don't own the show. I work.
Well, they hear me, too. They hear me, too. They okay. You recorded it. They're going to hear every damn thing we talk about.
Okay, but I just want you to understand that, though, that I'm not the guy that doles out the money at the end of on Friday afternoon.
But you the guy to go knock on the door and ask the guy who doled out the money, right?
Well.
Are you the guy who know the guy who know the guy who go ask
well,
the guy?
Well, I don't really. I mean, there's a lot of new people in management right now. I really don't know them very well.
Let me
well.
Tell you something, man. You know everything about in management. They don't tell me. You ain't coming to damn work, coming up with this damn fine bum show. You don't know who you answering to. Get out of here with that damn fool. I wasn't born yesterday. I was born in 1970, man. You hear me? 1970. Don't get out of here with that damn miss me with all that damn fool.
Okay, okay. I don't know them very well. I can assure you, I don't mix with those people very much.
I'm quite sure you don't. You don't mix with too many people. Shit, you don't eat nothing fine, Bob. You hear me? I don't know what you do, really. I'm boring, too. Hey, I'm boring, too, man. I just sit here and look at the damn squirrel eating the damn bird seeds all day every day.
That's the best way to be.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to be. I mind my own damn business.
Right. That's how I do. I nobody knows me. I live in a neighborhood. I mean, I think most people think I sell insurance.
Well, I live in the neighborhood, fine, but I don't know what they probably think I do. They probably think I'm a damn drug dealer, a football player or something.
A guy came up to me today and said, "I want to talk to you about my auto policy." I said, I'll be home at 7. Just meet you outside.
Man, they better not come up about you. Tell me they want to talk about nothing. I'm going to tell them, listen, get out of here with that damn prescription. You hear me? And listen, my glaucoma doctor calling me, telling me my damn prescription ready. You have a good damn day.
Okay, man, I do not want to interrupt your glaucoma is a serious problem, so I'm glad you took that call. Squirrel is back on the show. Good afternoon.
I never left.
Well, it seemed like there was a lot of heat coming out of your Twitter account the other night.
I don't know. Twitter accounts get hacked.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
You never know. But, you know, as a recent caller, I just appreciate you taking my call. And you don't owe me anything, for calling in or anything of that nature. But I saw one of your buddies on Family Feud the other night, and it made me think about you.
Oh, was that Tess?
No, Dee Snider.
Oh, Dee Snider.
Dee Snider.
Dee Snider is now on Family Feud. I'm assuming it was Celebrity Family Feud.
Wow. Dee Snider family was against the Terry Bradshaw family.
What a derelict he is.
And I remember him and you getting into it and him saying he was going to come down to Birmingham and beat your ass.
Yeah, Dee Snider used to be the lead singer in the group Twisted Sister. And there was a big controversy in the late 90s. Remember John Rocker, the pitcher for the Braves?
Yes, I remember all of that. I remember this.
Yeah,
call.
So he had made some remark, upset everybody in New York, and Dee Snider said he would never play John Rocker. He wouldn't let the Braves play his song again. And I basically said he was a fraud. And he called in our show, and he said, "I'm going to come down there and kick your ass." I said, "I'll meet you at the airport. What time are you coming in?"
And you started hollering at him. And then one time you got mad at me about something, and you was hollering at me. And as you was hollering at me, it was like white noise. I couldn't hear a word you were saying. All I was thinking to myself was, damn, he's hollering at me like he hollered at Dee Snider that day.
Yeah, I think I called him a washed up drug addict. it was pretty serious stuff. And then he lost it. I have run into people that know him over the years. Yeah. In fact, I ran into his former agent once in New York, and he said everybody still laughs about it.
Well, his family looked pretty sleazy, if you want to know my opinion.
I am amazed that the people that run Family Feud would be desperate enough to put him on.
Well, he was on there.
And, against a national treasure like Terry Bradshaw.
That was some tough love you dealt out to Augie a few minutes ago, too.
Well, hey, listen.
To self-nominate, nerve.
I respect the paralegal as a good caller, but he has not earned it. Okay.
No, he definitely has not earned it. And there's only one person that's earned it, in my opinion, and I'm only pulling for one person. Can you guess who that is?
Tammy.
Legend.
Legend. Okay.
I think the Ring of Honor will just go great with that ring that he has around his lips. Thank you for taking my call. Aloha.
Another member of the Ring of Honor, Larry from Shelby.
What's going on, Paul?
Larry, we haven't heard from you in too long. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Turned 74 June 22nd.
Turned 74. You're still young, Larry.
Hell yeah, baby. Kicking like a chicken. Hey, you did a little seminar this past Friday down there in Florida, didn't you?
I spoke to it was a speech. I spoke at the Alabama Bar Association meeting.
Yeah, one of my lawyer friends, I worked for him for about 12, 14 years when I got out of police work. When I just got 12 police cars messed my back up, he gave me a job doing investigative work. I worked for him about 12, 14 years.
Was he there?
Yeah, he enjoyed it. He told me. Yeah. He liked it.
It did. I tell you what, Larry, it did make me nervous being around a bunch of lawyers and judges.
Nah, I used to, man, when I used to first get up on the witness stand and you get like Chef L, he'd get up there and rake your ass through the coals.
He was a good lawyer.
It makes you nervous. Yeah, he is a good lawyer. Yeah. His son's a good one, too.
I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah, but they all, you know, after you get used to them, you just blend with them. You don't pay no attention to them. I used to do investigative work on people cheating on their spouses. You know, I like that. That
did
was
you
fun.
Have to, I mean, what was the, I mean, you just had to pretty much, how do you do that? I mean, you have to hang out with cameras and all that?
Well, you just have to, you got to go through a lot of stuff that's not above the board. You know, you don't want to talk about it, but some of the stuff you're doing, you don't want to
I see this in the movies all the time where all of a sudden, like, you're at a hotel and there's a knock on the door and the guy says room service and it's actually the private investigator. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, man. We window peeping, you name it. With cameras on.
Window peeping. I think it's called Peeping Tom.
Oh man, we call it investigation.
So you look. So you would look in a window of a place where you would have two people.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't go on their property if you could get a view of a window. If it's open, that's the public, son.
Okay.
You ain't opening no curtains. I
hear you.
Open to the
well,
public.
Don't most people who are having affairs, wouldn't they think to close the curtains? I know I always do.
Well, you take some of these high rollers, hell no. Just like one guy, he was a big high roller with a TV station. And his old lady, you know, she's cheating on me. Mm-hmm. And so she was cheating with another woman, though. So, you know. I told him, I said, well, it ain't bad.
I mean, Larry, cheating is cheating, right?
Yeah, I know. I told him, I said, it ain't that bad. He said, what do you mean it ain't that bad? I said, it's another woman.
How did he react?
He didn't like it. He said, that don't make it no damn better.
Well, he's trying. Hey, Larry, we have to run. Thanks for the call. I didn't know Larry was a private investigator. We will take a short break. Back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And heading to Oxford shortly, let's check out Mark, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul. I'm sorry. You just woke me up from my nap. I was actually taking a nap through the lunatic fringe hour, but I had a serious sports question.
Yes.
CAA bought ICM today. That's another agency like CAA.
Correct.
Well, CAA is Jimmy Sexton, the most powerful, has the biggest inventory, portfolio of coaches, most successful coaches in the country. I guess my question to you is does ICM have a portfolio of coaches that are pretty good or good, or who do they represent? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that merger for obvious reasons. And they do. They're very heavily involved in European soccer. They do represent some players, but ICM is primarily a broadcast and movie agency, literary as well. But their client list, the bigger names would be Chris Rock, Spike Lee, Charlemagne the God, people like that, as opposed to well-known coaches. All these agencies are now three, there were four. Represent coaches, but nobody comes close to CAA. There's another group, I believe they're with WME, that represents a number of coaches like Ryan Day, people like that. But CAA obviously is Jimmy Sexton's group. Thank you for the call. These things, they're just like everything else. They just the big companies all merge and. And it's just strength by numbers, allegedly. Let's continue with Vance, who is in Georgia. Hello, Vance.
Hey, pal. How's it going, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm going to have to do a little echo in here with Jeff. Now, you gave a really perfect answer to him on why this book, including Jimbo Fisher. I mean, I can't go against that. But I don't expect you to recall this, but I called you a couple of months because one of the topics of your show was some of the luckiest things you'd ever seen in college football.
Right.
And I brought up the miracle play of Auburn and Georgia, and then the next when they play Alabama, the kick six. And I...
You still there, Vance?
Want to know about the punt, Bama punt.
Yeah,
you
broke up for a second. I heard you mention the prayer at Jordan Hare and then the kick six, and then I heard the punt, Bama punt, but I missed a couple of things in between.
Well, I just wanted to say somebody wanted to know who did that with the punt, Bama punt. It was... Bill Newton and David Langley.
Right, David Langer.
Langer. Okay, well, it means that all this luck of the Irish crap is out the window. But there was one huge question I asked you, and you had an immediate response. I said, if it wasn't for that kick six, what would have happened when Alabama played FSU? And you immediately said Alabama would win. And the reason I'm curious about that is I don't understand for the life of me what is so compelling about Jimbo Fisher. I just don't get it.
Vance, I really believe that you're not alone. And part of the reason I asked that, because Auburn, not to relive games, but Auburn should have beaten FSU. Anybody who watched the game, Auburn had the game in hand, and to Jimbo's credit, he called a fake punt, I believe. I can't remember what it was toward the end of the second half, the second quarter. And had that not been converted and they got a subsequent touchdown, they were on the verge of getting blown out. And they did score with 13 seconds remaining. But Jimbo Fisher is a coach who I think is going to be the most scrutinized coach in college football the next 2 to 3 years. And
is it just because him and Nick Saban
that is a small part of it, but that is not the overriding reason. Part of the reason is that he's making $10 million a year. They have mortgaged themselves on his future. The thing with Saban didn't just start 5 weeks ago. Remember, he called the shot last summer at the, I believe it was the Houston Touchdown Club when he said he was going to beat Saban, and he used much stronger language. And I just think that there are a lot of people that question whether he's capable of doing it or not. And you're among them. And I think he's got another issue going on, and that's what's happening in Austin, because I really believe that the Arch Manning commitment is going to move some tremendous momentum towards Sarkisian's program.
Well, I will be interested in that. Lord willing, we all live that long.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I will say this real quick. I have to say this. I am not stupid enough to try to imitate the man, but all I'm going to say is you have your best caller, in my humble opinion, gave you a great hint in the first conversation today with him when he said, "You think you can out-talk me?" And that is Jerome. He told you right up front, "You think you can out-talk me?" And I'm like, no. Nobody can out-talk him. That guy makes my day.
He's very funny. There are certain things you can't replicate. I know a lot of people try to imitate other callers, but he would be impossible to replicate. Martin is up next in Houston. Hello, Martin.
Wow, Paul. I'm honored to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
You're my favorite, man. But I want the SEC folks out there to understand that when the Longhorns and OU jump into that group, be careful what you wish for. Got me?
I sure do. I mean, I understand what you're talking about. And, you know, a year later, or almost a year later, there's still a lot of bewilderment. I understood Oklahoma. Oklahoma's wanted in the SEC for a long time. The Texas thing is still pretty amazing to factor.
If you look at historically, we're not talking about like the last 10 years. Historically, Texas beats up Alabama. They beat up OU. They beat up Nebraska. Think about it.
No, I do hear you loud and clear. Martin, thank you very much for the call and the nice words. We are heading to a break. We're going a little quickly here because we are heading to Oxford in just a minute. Find out what's happening there. We'll take a short break.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Joe's up next. Good afternoon, Joe.
Broke that road, Paul Feinbaum. And I'm sorry I ain't called in the last 2 days. My brother came in from Huntsville yesterday, and I don't get to see him often, so I had to go with Mom and Daddy's and, you know, visit him for a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you did.
But I've been listening to the show, and But I want to say this right here, Paul. This Ring of Honor y'all have, it needs to go to those original callers, like Tammy and Shane. And I've never even heard Shane talk, but from what I heard about him, because, Paul, I started calling you when SEC Network first picked up your show, because I could hear snips and bits on the radio, but we couldn't pick it in real well in Red Bay, you know, from Birmingham. And so I first started calling them as soon as y'all started the Paul Feinbaum show. And I do want to tell you this, Paul. At that time, I was just getting through with an injury. And I've heard other people tell you this, too. But, Paul, your show actually helped save my life, because I was dealing with depression and actually overdosed a couple of times. And I didn't have a lot to do, but your show helped bring me through those dark days. And there's no way I can ever repay that, Paul. But I just wanted you to know that how much your show has actually meant to me. And I think, you know, it means a lot to a lot of people. Because when you, you know, I was working at a job, I was working 80 to 100 hours a week. And I was fighting things because things in the past just to keep my mind occupied. And then when that comes to an end with this last major injury I had, it just had me just sitting and thinking because it was like 2 years before I could even walk. And it just went from, you know, from doing things to just, you know, things rolling over in my mind. And if your show had not got on SEC Network, if they had not started this up, there's a good chance I wouldn't even have been here today. And I just wanted to tell you that, Paul, how much I appreciate that. And not calling to jump on anybody today, even though there's some I'd like to. But I just called to tell your appreciation on how much you really helped save my life, Paul. And I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that so much.
Well, I don't know how I could ever thank you for saying that on behalf of everyone here, Joe. That means a great deal. And you keep calling, you keep being you, and I think that's what makes you so special to so many people.
Right. And Paul, I just wanted you to know publicly how much I don't want to put too much out there in my life, personal stuff. But there was some dark days, Paul. There was one time I overdosed, and it was like 3 days I was in ICU. And they didn't know if I was going to live the next day or not because I had took so many pills at that time. And I've never took pills in my life until I had to. And coming out of that and being able to, you know, sports. And the only one that could do that, I could watch TV, but it wasn't the same. I was just sitting here in the room by myself. But just to get to talk to you, that saved my life. And that's the true story, Paul. That's I couldn't be more honest. I mean, that's the true story. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you and all these other callers, because there's so many that brings, you know, that made me smile on days that I was thinking of ways to end my life. And it just meant so much to me on all these callers, even Jim. I mean, all of them. And if it weren't for your show, Paul, and I'm probably not the only one, but there's probably a lot of other people out there that, you know, when you're just, and when the Lord sets you down and your mind goes to thinking, God planted you in our lives. I mean, God has a purpose for it. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, Paul. And I just wanted to take the time today to just tell you that.
Joe, we could never repay you for those words. You be well, and thank you so very much for sharing that. We appreciate it. Thank you, Joe. We were hoping to go to Oxford right now and show the parade. The problem is we were because of the noise and because of the chaos, we were hoping to talk to a player. It just was impossible for him to hear us. So we just want to let you know what is going on. This is inside the stadium right now in Swayze, and the fans are starting to come in. We've shown you a couple of pictures of the parade. Dave DeLucci joining us. He knows a little bit about playing in Oxford, Mississippi. The analyst just back from Nebraska and joining us now. He'll be part of the coverage later on. Dave, I know as a broadcaster, you have to separate everything, or you have to try to at least. But what was the last? What has this experience been like for you to watch and enjoy as somebody who understands the importance of baseball, not only in the SEC but especially in Oxford?
Well, it was extremely special, Paul, and thanks for having me on the show. You know, as an SEC analyst, I have to call things right down the middle, and I do not want to be a homer or show my bias. So first and foremost, I had to explain and announce everything that was going on because, look, we had Auburn, we had Arkansas, we had A&M. It was chock full of SEC teams. But as Ole Miss was nearing the championship, I had this emotion just growing inside of me and a ton of pride for what the program has accomplished, throughout the 22 seasons of Coach Mike Bianco. Let's not forget the Ole Miss baseball program started in 1893, and they have not won a national championship until this year. So it was very emotional. I had to fight back some tears before I went on live after the game. I saw many different former players that played in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They were grown men crying because they were overwhelmed with what had just happened. Combine that with about 20,000 Ole Miss Rebel fans up there, and it was an experience that I don't think I will ever forget, nor will any of those players and coaches.
Try to take us on that parade route right now, and we mentioned we showed the shots of the stadium, just from a fan standpoint, because you have so many family members, you know so many people. Last year, State won. Everyone had probably different emotions, the pressure on the coach, all the stories that you've talked about ad nauseum. But tonight, what are we going to see here in the next hour and a half?
So I think one of the things that everyone in the SEC understands is that Ole Miss is a close-knit community, and every single person in that town and the outside areas bleeds red, white, and blue. They are Ole Miss fans forever. And you're absolutely right, Paul. The story didn't start opening day this year. It started last year when Mississippi State won the national championship, and it made the fans even hungrier that they wanted to win one for themselves. This is a team that was returning 8 of the 9 position players from last year that lost in the Super Regionals to Arizona. They were one win away from Omaha, so the fans felt like it was at their fingertips, and they got robbed of an opportunity. This year, there were high expectations. Everyone in the fan base in Oxford and the state of Mississippi was on board. They knew there were going to be great things. At one point during the season, Ole Miss was ranked number 1, and it might have been a little premature, but they had the talent to do it. And shortly after, the team just could not put both facets of the game together. They either got a good pitching outing or a high scoring from the offense, and they just could not put defense and offense together. And they took a nosedive, man. They were 7-14 at one point, and a lot of people were afraid they weren't going to make the SEC tournament, much less the NCAA postseason. So fortunately for the Rebels, the fans got a little aggravated, as fans do in today's day. They made their voices heard, as fans do, but they still stuck by the team and the coaching staff, and they figured it out at the right time. Coach Mike Bianco, throughout the course of the year, he was trying to press different buttons. He was moving pitchers into the starting rotation and taking them out. And toward the end, it seemed like Dylan DeLucia at the ace role, the Friday night starter, was the fit that they needed. He was the player that set the tone for the rest of the pitching staff, and Hunter Elliott right behind him. And with those two guys at the top of the rotation, it was just – they played like gangbusters from there out. They were the last team in to the regionals. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I want you to finish that thought, because you mentioned the coach, and we talked to him the other night, and there just has to be so many emotions running through his head tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and look, not only for Coach Mike Bianco and Lafferty and Coach Cleary and Clement, but their wives, man. I saw Cammie Bianco after the game, and she was tickled to death, and I thanked her. She's just as much a part of this and all of their families. They heard all the positives. They heard all the negatives. Every one of those coaches have given their lives to this program. So I know it is a huge accomplishment, especially for a team that has been so close throughout the years, to finally overcome that hump and be the first national champions. And I know they're going to take time to relish it.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.